This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakeman on 7-5 Radio. Check us out at 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org. We are red hot and rolling this Saturday, August 31st, 2024. Walter, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. I hope all is well up there by you.
Yep, it's going great. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great, brother. Thank you.
Not a problem. Anyways, this is a special show. We have the entire cast and crew of the Dirt Road podcast. Our old Mike Rakeman started a podcast with a friend of his named Rick, and they decided to join us tonight. Rick, how are we doing tonight, sir? Do we have Rick on the line? Okay, we don't have
one second.
They always say, whatever you do in radio, don't have dead air. So, anyways.
Sorry about that. He's calling in right now.
Okay, outstanding. Anyways, while Rick is calling in,
Rick's here.
Hey, Rick, how are we doing tonight?
Good. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you, anyway.
Outstanding. Anyways, first thing we want to do is say hello to all of our special listeners, including Little Billy Keebler in the men and alleged women of the Onondaga, New York Fire Department, known as the Cellar Savers. Also, a special hello to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, and those living on Long Island in the 2nd Congressional District. First order of business, as always, to remember the men and women in law enforcement who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, remember police officer Darren Burks of the Dallas, Texas Police Department, end of watch, August 29th, 2024. His killer is fortunately DOA. Also, investigator Taylor Bristow of the Carroll County, Georgia Sheriff's Office, end of watch, August 23rd, 2024. His killer, thankfully, took his own life. Anyways, this is our back-to-school edition of 7-5 Radio. I've asked Rick to come on tonight to talk about the state of the education system. Rick is a retired teacher by trade, did over 30 years of honorable service. And instead of just bitch, moan, and complain about what's going on in public schools, I asked Rick to come on board to give an idea or an opinion on how to fix the school system, not just the public schools, but the private, parochial, charter, so on and so forth. A couple quick facts. According to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, 35% of all fourth graders are proficient reading. That's 35% of the entire fourth grade in the U.S. is proficient. 40% of 8th graders are proficient in math. That's only 40% of 8th graders are proficient at math. And then you look at Baltimore City Public Schools, only 29% of the student body tested at or above reading levels, and only 16% of the Baltimore City Public Schools tested at or above for math. So they're not. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to do math. But they got social promotion, and they're coming out in the workforce. They're next generation of people to keep this country moving. Rick, what's your opinion on what can we do to get this system back in order? Because I mean, I still have kids in public schools. Unfortunately, I can't afford parochial schools, Catholic schools, or private schools for a number of reasons. And believe me, I'm trying. We had Cal Thomas on a couple years ago, and he said to me, "Get your kids out of public schools." And those words haunt me today. So what can we do to get these get the schools back in order?
Well, those numbers are terrible, Pete, and they're real. I mean, I lived them. I've seen it. They're true. You know, especially, you know, it's not about social promotion. Well, it is about social promotion. We outlawed social promotion in the New York City public schools back during the Mayor Bloomberg administration, probably about 10, 15 years ago. But it was a bunch of am I allowed to curse or can I just say BS?
Negative. But no, that's all reserved for Charlie Duff.
It's a bunch of BS. I mean, because you're not going to have a 20-year-old eighth grader, right? So eventually they do get promoted because they go to summer school. Summer school is basically just about showing up, and then you move on to the next grade. And it's sad because the kids are really victims when it comes to this because they do get pushed through. And, you know, they're literate, obviously. It's not 1870. We don't have that many kids who are completely illiterate. But as far as being on a level where, and Mike didn't even talk about this too, just cops that can't even write up arrest reports in coherent English. So it is a problem. It's not a lie. Those numbers are true. And as far as Catholic school goes, just, you know, I have to give a little disclaimer here. I am a public school teacher. I taught in the public schools, and I also taught in Catholic school. But I did send all my children to parochial school. But it wasn't because of a disdain for public schools. Actually, the public schools that they could have gone to are pretty good. It was just I wanted my kids to get a religious education. But what's the answer, Pete? I wish I knew, but I think we'd have to start with understanding that we don't have an education system in America, right? We have a ton of school districts, each that have a certain sense of autonomy, and each that have their own problems. And some of them are pretty damn good, you know, some public school systems in America. Some are not.
So what can we do? Do we need to have a federal takeover of schools?
No. That would be the worst thing. I mean, the Federal Department of Education put, you know, they're not even close to being the most funded of our federal departments. Most of the funding that they give is for special ed and school lunches and stuff like that. Sometimes they do give grants. But no, a federal takeover of anything is a bad thing, in my opinion. But I think local school districts just need to be more accountable to the parents, and parents need to be more accountable. Look, I don't ever want to put all the blame on it on parents. Mike and I did a podcast on this on our Dirt Road podcast. But parents are the kids' first teachers, right? And they do need to be more involved. Teachers are involved in a system that is very, very top-heavy. Teachers don't have a big say in what's in the – don't have any say, really, in what's in the curriculum. And more often, teachers are even given these scripted – curriculums now where they're not even allowed to make their own lesson plans, believe it or not. So, no, I don't think a federal takeover would be a good idea at all, Pete. I think where the federal government steps in, they usually mess things up worse.
Right. So do teachers need more autonomy from the school districts or the school boards?
Yeah, I believe so, at least in where I worked. And I worked in the biggest school system in the country. We had a million kids, about 80,000 teachers. Yeah, I do think teachers need a little bit more autonomy, especially now, because what happened was is school districts did recognize these problems. And their answer was the wrong one, I think. Their answer was to have more structure, more from the top, rather, more structure from the top, where the teachers are given scripted curriculums, especially in English, language, arts, and math. Teachers have very little leeway in what to do. They're even clocked on the amount of time that they can speak and the amount of time that they have to have kids working on their own. So, yeah, I do think teachers should be treated more professionally than they are.
Right. Well, what's the unions doing about it? Because where I live, we do have a teachers union, unfortunately. And it seems like they're fighting more for more time off than actually more autonomy or more power to teach what they want to teach, which is best for the students.
Well, I don't know about, where are you from, Pete?
Northern Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, I really can't speak to the unions there in Northern Virginia, but here in New York City, we do have a very big, very politically influential union, but I'm very much in favor of most of what the union does. I don't see them fighting for time off as much as they do fight for teacher autonomy. a lot, because teachers in New York City, like I said, do have to follow these scripted curriculums, and they get in trouble when they get observed by an administrator and they're not following to that script and sticking to that script. So I can't speak to what happens in Northern Virginia, but in New York City, yeah, I didn't particularly think teachers are treated very much like professionals at all, and I think that's a problem.
Right. So do we need to I mean, this, like where I live, the school board is absolutely atrocious. Anyways, when we come back, we'll talk more about fixing the school system and get input from Walter and Mike. Also talk about hot garbage Harris, Trump visiting Arlington Cemetery, and a whole much, much more. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Patriots, faith leaders, sheriffs, this is your call to action. The Foundation for Freedom Conference is coming to Orlando September 6th and 7th at the Rosenshingle Creek Hotel. Learn how counties across America are pushing back against government overreach and protecting constitutional rights. Featuring top constitutional attorneys and sheriffs who stood firm during the COVID crisis. Visit foundationforfreedom.us and register today. Together, we can restore our nation. God bless America.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Danila's Instagram account. Here's more 75 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop staying with Walter Urquhart and Mike Rickman and the entire hosting staff of the Dirt Road Podcast, which consists of Mike Rickman and Rick, retired New York City school teacher. Well, I hogged enough airtime. Well, what say you? Got any questions, comments, or concerns about with our guest?
Well, yeah, just a few comments and maybe feedback. My son finished 6 years ago with the school system. He finally he graduated high school on time down here in Tennessee. But I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Long Island. I went through the school systems back in the 60s and 70s. And from what I remember in being in school, it is now like Kamala Chameleon, a 180. I'm not going to throw all the teachers or all faculties or all school systems, you know, into the dumpster because I don't believe in that. A few bad apples don't ruin anything, all of it. But it seems like it's a competition for a parent and faculty, some faculty. It's a competition for your child's best interest. And I understand that, you know, teacher has a curriculum. They have people to answer to, their boss, the vice principal, principal, have people to answer to, and, you know, State Board of Education and such. I get that. However, believe a lot of the school system has become way too political, far too political, to succeed in offering sound education. Rick, you have any rebuttal or any comment?
I didn't get the name of the caller there.
It's our co-host, Walter Yerkew. It's the host, Walter Yerkew.
Yeah, I'm Walter. I'm Walter. This is my show.
So he thinks. I
agree with you 100%. Everything that you said. Look, public schools are a political institution. Even if it's elected, I mean, as a mayor or a town council that oversees just about any school board, and the decisions that are going to be made, fortunately or unfortunately, are going to be political. And right now, the most active political groups out there are of a certain political persuasion, and usually to the left. And they're the most vocal, and they're the ones who are going to get what they want in those curriculum, in the curricula. And that's just, you know, it's a problem, but it's a solvable problem, because they're right now the loudest, but the other side has a voice too, you know. And if more conservatives get involved in it, in the school system, and run for school board and get into it, that to me is the solution, because you can't unpoliticize a public service. You just can't. Every decision that's going to be made in a public institution is going to be made based on politics. So I think it's just about fighting for your political beliefs. And I don't think any of this stuff should be in schools. I don't think politics should have anything to do in the classroom. Classroom should be about learning. But the decisions that are made are answerable to voters.
Right.
My son wasn't the best student, and certainly, like me, his father didn't have a halo around his head all the time. Okay, I get that. I grew up like that. My son, you know, I back him up 100%, just like any parent would and should. However, when you get a vice principal talking to the parent in such a manner where it causes your 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old, whatever they may be, it causes them to look at you as a parent being talked down to in such a manner, it seems like they're trying to force disrespect or not to respect the parent, you know, in the child's eyes. Therefore, they are the disciplinarian or whatever the case may be. Now, I challenged this vice principal on that. And there was an SRO, I don't know what they call them in New York, the school officer, you know, that's there. And I asked her, why are you here at this meeting? And she says, oh, just to make sure everything goes smooth. And I said, so what makes you think it's not going to go smooth? I says, I find it offensive that you're sitting here. None of your business what I'm going to discuss with the vice principal when it comes to my kid. You should be walking around in the hallways making sure everybody else is safe, okay, and not just worry about the vice principal here. And that was it. I mean, it was what I said. It was what I believe, and I still believe that. Okay. What I got was,
it sounds to me like you were up against the vice principal drunk on power or something, you know?
Oh, absolutely. 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 And, you know, and even younger, when my son was younger, he'd come home and he says, it was what, second grade maybe? He says, Daddy, is it okay for the teacher to hit me? I said, what's his name? And he said, well, it's a her. So I was down at the school the next day. And she went on and on and on about how bad my son was in her music class, which she saw him once a week for an hour. How bad he was, how disrespectful he was. And I said, all right, well, you know, let me see your documentation. How long has this been going on? You didn't try calling me. What do you got written down? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. She smacked my son with the paddle, and she says, you know what your son did to me? Turned around and laughed at me. I says, yeah, like I'm laughing at you right now, but I'm not just not showing it because I think you're an idiot for hitting somebody's six-year-old.
Are you in a state that allows corporal punishment?
I am, but I also put my foot down before my son started school about that nonsense. If I'm going to discipline my child, I'm not going to hit that child to make him fear me. I may tap him on the butt to get a freaking to get his attention, you know, to get him back into focus. But I will not deliver. And of course, using the paddle, that's a weapon. You know, it's a weapon. We weren't allowed to take our nightsticks out unless our physical welfare depended on it. So, you know, I don't believe in the corporal punishment. I don't think it works. It doesn't do a damn thing. It just makes the student more bitter and the parent pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't live in a state that allows corporal punishment in schools, so it'd be hard for
me. Well, you know, I told you, I grew up in New York. I grew up in New York. I got hit once. I got hit once by a priest in Catholic school in third grade. Okay. My father took me down to the rectory that night, knocked on the door, got a hold of the priest, and my father, God rest his soul, if you ever lay a hand on my son again, I will kill you. I will kill you dead. And then when we got home, my father
beat
the crap out
of me. I wouldn't want anybody hit my kids either.
Okay.
I've raised three children, and I can count on my fingers the amount of times I hit them. My wife was the one who did most of the hitting. But I wouldn't want anybody else touching kids. But as far as what you were saying before about the teacher, I agree with you again 100%. I was a union rep for a long, long time, and I always advised all of my teachers. I said, you have to document everything. If you have a child that's in any kind of trouble, make sure you put it right away. Document everything, because the last thing you want is a parent coming in after there's been 5, 6, 7 instances with a child, and all of a sudden you're laying this on the parent. You know, a teacher, in my opinion, should, and I did for 32 years, I always taught other people's children the way I always imagined I'd want my kids being treated when they were in school. So, you know, look, that teacher was not a good teacher. If that teacher doesn't even document things and just calls you in after there's been it's gotten to the point where corporal punishment has to come in. But again, I really can't speak to, I don't live in a state that allows corporal punishment in school. And me personally, nobody's touching my child other than me or my wife.
Amen. Amen. And the curriculum, you know, the curriculum is going to be always what it's going to be. I don't have a say in it. Nobody has a say in it, but the taxpayers pay their salaries to come up with a ridiculous BS curriculum, you know. So anyway,
yeah.
But
ahead. What's happened with the curriculums are also, again, you know, political, and everybody wants to say, right? So always I taught history and government, and all you ever hear is they don't teach this, they don't teach that, they don't teach this, they don't teach that. So what's wound up happening is that everybody has to get a little bit of this or a little bit of that, their political opinions in. And it's so overloaded the curriculum that there's almost nothing to learn. You know, I mean, if a kid comes into school and you're teaching them 17 different things in a 40-minute period, they're going to learn none of it, right? Whereas if you could focus on two or three things, it would be different. But right now, I mean, we both know which political side is getting the wins in the schools, and it's the liberal side. And they're getting everything they want in those curriculum. And listen, not everything that they want is bad, but both sides have to speak up, especially when it comes to something like the teaching of history and government and ethics and things like that. In math, there's really no argument, right? I mean, math is math. There's going to be arguments among educators, but that's about money, you know, because these companies that produce these curriculum, they make a lot of money. So every couple of years, they change the curriculum and they have a different way of teaching math and this and that. But most of us parents, we can't follow along with that. I don't know about you, but once my kids started learning algebra, I was lost. You know, that wasn't my subject. But when it comes to things like American history, yeah, it's politicized. I mean, there's just no arguing it. It's very politicized, and just certain groups are getting more of a say than others.
Right. Anyways, on that note, we'll talk about coming up. We'll be talking about Hot Garbage Harris, her once-in-a-lifetime interview. Also, Donald Trump visits Arlington Cemetery, and we'll talk about the dirt roads. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Tension growing between China and the Philippines.
It's the latest flare-up of tensions over disputed waters and maritime features in the South China Sea. In a statement posted on social media, a Chinese Coast Guard spokesperson said the Philippine ship collided with the Chinese vessel after maneuvering in an unprofessional and dangerous manner. Beijing added the Chinese ship was operating within regulations. China is rapidly expanding its military as it pursues its claim to virtually the entire South China Sea, which is crucial to international trade. The tensions have led to more frequent confrontations, mainly with the Philippines, whose security the U.S. is treaty-bound to ensure. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
A number of noticeable changes in the war in Ukraine and Russia. Women are joining the ranks of Ukrainian mobile air defense units to shoot down drones. Dozens of female recruits have joined in recent months. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. There is new evidence, President Biden.
A new Inspector General report shows the president moved ahead with construction despite being warned by U.S. staff it would fail as a result of rough seas and other logistical problems. Despite the warnings, Biden insisted the structure be built, an apparent effort to follow through on the promise he made during his State of the Union speech. The warnings, however, proved to be well-founded. The pier survived only 20 days and delivered just a third of its intended cargo. Humanitarian groups pulled out due to the ongoing threat of Hamas terrorist attacks. Bob Agner reporting.
FDA clearing a third updated COVID vaccine for this fall. Shots made by Novavax. Already Pfizer and Moderna shipping their doses to various RXs. Not official, but sources in Japan say the government there now is coaxing more people to adopt a four-day work week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton, Mike Reitbrand, and we have the entire hosting staff of the Dirt Road Podcast, featuring our own Mike Reitbrand and his co-host Rick. These gentlemen broadcast their podcast from their 500-acre farm somewhere in the five boroughs of the city of New York. Our next story is major news because the vice president held an interview on CNN. This is big news because the vice president does not do one-on-one interviews. During this interview, she had to have her service animal, Tampon Tim Walz, sitting at her side. Now, there's a big difference between Vice President Harris and Donald Trump. Kamala Harris doesn't do interviews, whereas Donald Trump is everywhere. He goes on interviews at every single outlet there is. And I'm not going to be too surprised if he comes on 7-5 Radio to speak with yours truly, Walter and Mike. And knowing Walter and Mike, they would still talk about my alleged banana hammock from the pool party on July the 28th. Anyways, I have a new hashtag for Kamala Harris, hashtag Hot Garbage Harris, because that exactly was the interview in a nutshell. When she was asked about what she was going to do on day one, she said she's going to help the middle class. She didn't mention anything about signing executive orders or policy decisions, just making campaign promises. I mean, Donald Trump signed a whole bunch of executive orders on his first day on the job, and Joe Biden signed executive orders rescinding Donald Trump's executive orders day number one. When she talked about flip-flopping on fracking, she said she stuck to her values. Well, at first she said she was against fracking, but since the swing state of Pennsylvania is big on fracking, now she's for fracking. You know, that's her values. She didn't talk about the values of fooling around with San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, but that's for a different show at a different time. And then my favorite clip is I posted on the website, 75radio.org. She was talking about the last decade. I don't know what she's talking about, the last decade, the last era, but I guess she was trying to make an inference. It wasn't good. But here's the thing. In the last decade, past 10 years, you had Obama for president for 2 years, Donald Trump was president for 4 years, and Joe Biden's been president for 3.5 years. And, you know, she made no sense of what was wrong with that decade or era other than it was not good. Anyways, I can't believe people are going to vote for this. Well, they are because she's a Democrat. I mean, they could put a ham sandwich or Adolf Hitler as the nominee, and they're going to vote for her. Mike, what say you about this Hot Garbage Harris interview from CNN?
Well, I mean, first of all, it was supposed to be an unscripted interview, like, you know, this whole unscripted, extemporaneous interview. And then we find out, no, it was pre-recorded and edited, and they will not release the edited version of it. So right there, it tells you everything you need to know about it. It is hot garbage. It really is. There's no policy talk, and the policy talk she does give is very vague. There's no, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do to fix this. Here's how I'm going to fix this. Here's how I'm going to help the middle class. She's not going to help the middle class. She's not going to help anybody. She's going to help her and her donors and herself and the cabal that runs things, but she's not going to help regular people, not even remotely. She's going to continue on the same failed policies they've been on the whole time. Hot garbage is a perfect description of it. It was a completely non-interview. It wasn't an interview. It was a campaign ad, and they should just call it that.
Right. Rick, what say you about the Kamala Harris and Tampon Tim interview?
Well, I mean, I have a little different take. My issue is not so much with her as it is with the press. They just don't ask good probing questions, and they allow her, as they've allowed, you know, many Democratic politicians, to just go on with their platitudes and not really answer questions and never follow up. I mean, they should have just asked her, like you just said, you know, if inflation is so bad that you need to fix it, how can you say that and not take responsibility for it when it was your administration that oversaw this inflation over the last few years? So to me, the issue is not her. She's doing what a politician should do, which is anything to get elected. My issue is with the press that just has completely lost their credibility, in my opinion, over the last 10, 12 years or so.
More like the last 50 years. That's why we call the press the dumpster fire media. Walter, what say you about Hot Garbage Harris?
Well, you know, she was a prosecutor. She knows what hard questions are, or she should know what hard questions are. You know, she was California Attorney General. She should know by examining, cross-examining, direct, redirect, you know, witnesses. She should know what hard questions are, even defendants that she's had questioned upon the witness stand. She knows what the hard questions are. Okay? As a senator, she asked the hard questions to, you know, of course, Republicans. She asked the hard questions. For what, 7 years she was a senator? She knows what hard questions are. Okay? But she doesn't know how to answer them. And she won't answer easy questions either. Always, you know, how are you going to, you know, what are you going to do about the border? Well, we have laws and they need to follow. Yeah, but, you know, in 19, you said that, you know, the wall was stupid and, you know, people should be able to come across the border and seek refuge and all that nonsense. And she says, my morals haven't changed. So what does that tell you? That tells you that she is going to keep on fighting the wall. She won't come up. She won't. That's $265 million that's been set aside, according to the government, 4 years towards the wall. That's not going to be used on the wall. She wants access to that money. And the way to get access to that money is to say, I'm going to build the wall, but I need this first. And the money's going to disappear. She won't say, well, why don't you ask me a question that the people are going to decide to vote on? She didn't say that to that lady from CNN. Who was as soft as baby shit, mind you, excuse my French, on question. There's the softball questions and such. It's just ridiculous. You know, do you want people to vote for you, even though you say, of course she wants people to vote for her. She's not going to give you a negative answer. No, don't vote for me because I'm going to do this. And of course she's not going to say that. So, you know, we're, what, 2 weeks out of the, quote-unquote, potential second presidential debate. It's going to be a muted mic. So she can't interrupt. So Mr. Trump can't interrupt and get that. Mr. Trump, I'm speaking. Okay. You know, we know what she is. I've said a couple of weeks ago that this is going to be a landslide. I still believe it's going to be a landslide. I just don't see a loss, another loss for Mr. Trump. This is our last shot of getting our economy back on track. If we lose this election, it is going to be devastating through the next half of the century. It's going to be horrible on our kids, our grandkids. It's going to be horrible. I want to interview her. Kamala, come on 75 Radio. I want to interview you. I will not leave a stone unturned.
Hell, I don't like coming on the show, and I'm the co-host because somebody keeps mentioning about a banana hammock. But anyways, guys, on a serious
that
note,
I have no that we have no idea. We have no control over that. So. You know, I think you had a bad dream or something.
All right, but here's a serious question. I was going to put it out there. Anybody can answer. Is it me or is Kamala Harris just not a bright person? Because the way she interviews and talks and speeches, she just doesn't seem that bright. Anybody agree or disagree?
Well, like I said before, she became an attorney. You know, it's really not an easy thing to become an attorney. I mean, you know, everybody knows there's more law students in this country than there are attorneys. So it's not easy, and it's not easy to get into a firm. It's not easy to get, you know, to become, you know, unless you do what she's done. So, you know, when she says, you know, day one, she's going to do it for the middle class. I don't know. You know, she might still be having threesomes with Monty Williams. You know.
Okay. On that note, we'll talk about Trump visiting Arlington Cemetery, and we'll talk about the dirt road. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Take away.
Calling all patriots, faith-based leaders, sheriffs, and elected officials, it's time to stand up for our Constitution and protect our God-given rights. Join us at the Foundation for Freedom Conference at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel on September 6th and 7th. Hear from national speakers who've successfully fought against unconstitutional government overreach. Be inspired by constitutional attorneys, sheriffs, and more. Foundationforfreedom.us to register now. God bless America. See you in Orlando.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
And we are back. While you wonderful people were listening about LovingLiberty.net, yours truly was doing his due diligence and looking at the Instagram account of our spokesmodel, Danella Rodriguez. Follow her at Danella.fitnessmodel on Instagram. Anyways, our final story before we turn over to the Dirt Road podcast. August 26, 2021, 13 members of our military service were killed, and many others were wounded at the evacuation at the Kabul, Afghanistan airport, which turned out to be one of the biggest military blunders in American history. 3 years later this week, President Trump laid wreaths of the graves of three of the fallen soldiers. Accompanied with him were other GIs who happened to be in Kabul during the attack, and they were injured. And was this a photo opportunity? Of course it was. The election is less than 70 days away, but Donald Trump was there. President Biden wasn't there. He was on vacation again in Delaware after his vacation in California. Hot garbage Harris was too busy running from reporters. Now, here's the thing about Donald Trump that superfan Charlie C. Sent a clip of. When President Trump held receptions for Gold Star families, a Gold Star family is parents of fallen parents, wives, husbands of fallen military heroes. So he had receptions of members of military families at the White House, and a YouTube clip, this Gold Star father was just going on and on about how Donald Trump just gave these wonderful parents and spouses full run of the White House, and it never made the news. And one thing about Donald Trump, he did tremendous acts of charity, and it never made the news. But anyways, I commend Donald Trump for going to Arlington Cemetery and paying respects. Again, Joe Biden, he went to he was at Delaware, I think, back in 2021, looking at his watch as the graves of the caskets of these heroes were taken off that cargo plane that he was responsible for. And, of course, nobody got fired. Mike, what say you about the Trump at Arlington Cemetery?
I think Trump did exactly what he's always done. He honored the fallen. He respects the military. He respects the sacrifices made. And it shows that Biden and Harris wouldn't be there because they're the ones who enabled the entire hot mess that led to these men losing their lives. You know, and all the wounded that were there, it was so unnecessary. They gave up an easily defensible military air base that they could have done the evacuation with in an orderly manner and sent them to a civilian airport with no preparedness, no training, nothing ready to go, no plan. And they knew of the attack imminent. They had information that this attack was inbound and it was coming, and they still did nothing about it, and these people died. So I'm not surprised they didn't go to that. Biden probably doesn't even remember it happened, and Harris wants nothing to do with that debacle. She's trying to, you know, distance herself from him right now. So I think it's just obvious what it is. And it's obvious who cares about Americans and American military and who doesn't.
Right. Rick, real quick, you had some info before you came on air about Joe Biden and this mess in Kabul.
Yeah, I mean, just if people take the time to look back at the New York Times archives, there was information available. There were intelligence reports given to the Biden administration that the Taliban was about to take over, that the Afghan military could not possibly survive, and that the government would fall. He was an absolute liar when he said that intelligence reports told him that the Afghan government should last for another couple of years. He's a liar. And this is not my saying so. This is the New York Times. It's in print. And, you know, he doesn't show up to Arlington Cemetery. Like Mike said, murderers usually don't show up to their victims' funerals. He would have to answer questions about it if he doesn't want to. I do believe Trump really does care about these people. Can't know for sure. You're right. It was a photo op, but it was a sincere. It was a photo of a sincere moment. Let's put it that way.
Right. Walt, what say you about Trump coming to Arlington Cemetery? Walt?
Disrespect. And that's what they're saying. It was disrespectful what he did. Well, you know, how do you get disrespect from paying respects to our fallen? The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. With Biden, you know, burying his toes in the sand right next to his head. That's my thought on it. Mr. Trump did absolutely the correct thing.
Right. I mean, here's another thing about Trump. He way back when a family in Georgia were about to lose a farm, having financial difficulties, the father of the family decided to take his own life, thinking that the insurance policy would cover it. Unfortunately, it didn't, because insurance companies don't pay for suicide. So Trump got involved, told the bank cease and desist, and paid off the mortgage. But that's just, you know, one of many stories about President Trump. Anyways, finally, I want to turn it over to the entire hosting staff of the Dirt Road Podcast. You can get it anywhere where you get your great podcasts, such as 75 Radio and the No BS News. Mike and Rick, why don't you tell us about the Dirt Road, what's it about, and how we can watch it, and if it's any good.
So
it's
Mike
very
and I
good.
Are just brothers-in-law. It's good. Yes, we hope so.
Yeah, it's fair good. Mike. It's you can get us at Rumble, YouTube. I posted on all my social media the links for the episodes when they drop. So you can get it at YouTube.com/@DirtRoadPod. Or rumble.com/@DirtRoadPod. It's good, though. We're talking about basically cultural and honestly political events, things like that going on. Elections obviously are a big talk about that. We speak about education and everything in between, you know, and they're going to continue on doing that, just honest conversation and kind of honestly try and get people to get back into the conversations again, get civil discourse back in the public eye again, and get people actually talking reasonably to each other again. You know, not letting the small percentage of psychos take over the conversation.
Mike and I basically come from the same place philosophically and morally. We're both kind of old-fashioned guys. We do disagree on some things, though, and we have disagreements, but they're civil and hopefully intelligent, and that's just what we're trying to put out there in the space, just a good, civil, intelligent conversation.
Right. Now, Mike, I got a bone to pick with you. On 75 Radio, you seem to like to clown yours truly for various things, but you don't clown Rick on your podcast. What's up with that?
Well, Rick doesn't really express a lot of sexual deviancy, like wearing that bedazzled banana hammock that you run around in all the time, that me and Walt have to keep calling you out on. So that's probably a big part of it. If he ever does wear a bedazzled banana hammock, we will definitely bring it up on the podcast. And we're going to have you guys on the podcast
Mike also knows I'll kick his ass if he tries to rag me like that on
his podcast. See, now I have to do it.
Right. And also, what you guys are definitely missing is some great bumper music. Even though you have no commercials, you need some great bumper music. This show has the greatest bumper music in the history of broadcasting. Anyways, Walt, you got any questions, comments, concerns about the Dirt Road podcast?
No. As a matter of fact, I think a good job is being done by these guys. So I don't have anything bad to say about anything. It's all good.
Wow. Thank you, Walt.
I appreciate that, Walt.
All right, guys, last couple of minutes, I'll let you have it. Say what you want to say, promote the Dirt Road. Please don't use any of the 7 dirty words that Charlie Duff constantly uses on this program.
No, listen, we're having a great time with the show.
We are. Yeah, we have a good time. And these are just basically, we're letting the world see what Mike and I do at every family barbecue. Every holiday, we just sit there and we talk exactly like we're talking on our Dirt Road podcast. And we're looking forward to having people on and join our conversation with us at some point soon.
Outstanding.
Get on and engage. We want the engagement. You know, engagement is key because, again, it's about sparking those conversations, having those honest intellectual conversations about the right direction forward to make things work the way they should, not the way they are.
Right. Now, what's the response been from your family and friends?
Very positive.
I mean, except for our father-in-law, who said that I slouch and Mike mumbles, but for the most part, we've had positive comments.
Right. Now, I see you have that beautiful barn in the back with the Stars and Stripes. Where exactly is that 500-acre compound of yours?
It's extremely well
right
hidden.
In the middle
extremely
of
well hidden. It's very, very well hidden. Not easily findable.
Now, if you guys want some more clicks, you need to start insulting each other like we do here on 75 Radio. And once in a while, we can talk about a news story. But
Mike and I went at it a little bit on the one we just did today. Mike and I went at it a little bit. We have a little wager going, $200. Mike thinks Trump's going to win by 55%. I said he's out of his mind. So we have a $200 bet on that. But that's about as big of an argument as we have.
Yeah, the reason why you guys don't argue, Rick, is because Mike's not jealous of you yet. Mike's jealous of me because of my stardom, the people I hang around here in D.C., and the Sanford Sunhouse. Anyways, for Walter Yerke, Mike Reichbrandt, and Rick from the Dirt Road, this is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.